Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the fourth and final segment here of Radio Free Redoubts, episode 1830. And thank you guys for your patience. Segment four was, I was just about ready to start that when my computer, I went away, I walked away, came back, and Bill Gates had taken over my computer, decided to do these mandatory updates. Stand by, this will take a while, and basically just wiped me out for segment four. So anyway, I was able to recover everything, but it took some time to get all that back together. Those of you who listen Sunday night, you already got all that. For those of you who missed the Sunday evening live show, that's why the delay today getting that back together. So here it is Monday, putting segment four together. I'm just going to stitch it into the rest of the show. So it'll be seamless, and actually wouldn't even know pretty much if I hadn't said anything, but there it is. So segment four is brought to you by our friends at Werkz Holsters, WERKZ.com, for your custom holster needs. Custom holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on, well, everything they produce. So great folks. All right. Now, as you've been following for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about this series that the sheriff of Spokane County did. His name is Ozzie Knezevich. There's been a lot of scandal involved in his administration. He reportedly was a, or apparently he was previously a Democrat who then switched to the Republican Party to run for sheriff. So he has taken on he's taken it personal. This relationship with the conservative Christian patriot, Representative Matt Shea from District 4, Washington State, which also happens to be where, what am I trying to think of? Spokane County, where Ozzie Knezevich is the sheriff there. So he has a radio show called The Sheriff's Report. And this is supposed to be a public service. And he is wearing his uniform during this event, talking about issues within the community. Well, he took it upon himself to invite a guest who was a former senator, John Smith. Former Senator John Smith was only a senator because he was appointed when the previous senator was appointed to a position by the Trump administration, leaving a vacancy. And so this guy was appointed. He lost the election coming up. Apparently, the people in his community decided he was not the right person for that job. So, I don't know his heart as far as what type of animosity he holds for why he thinks he should have that position. There are rumors, but that's all they are. So, I'm not going to go any further with that. I'm going to go over what I know. And what I know is that this John Smith, who has described himself as one who was raised in a white supremacist type of environment, who claims to have confronted it when he was 17, and about 17 years old, as I understand it, he left the movement. Sheriff Ozzie Knezevich said, don't take our word for it. What we're saying about the Liberty State movement, about Representative Matt Shea, what we're saying about Marble, the folks up at Marble, do your own research. And then they tied it in with this show, this three-part series that they did called For the Soul of America, a look at the white supremacists and white nationalists in the Spokane region. So I did my research exactly like Sheriff Ozzie Knezevich said. And many of you have heard from Doug Taft. He is a black associate pastor, senior leadership at Marble, disputing the myths that Marvel is some type of a white supremacist, white nationalist organization. I know basically on my own observations of knowing them, I've never seen. In fact, there are two black pastors. Matthew Cummings, I've interviewed him. We've spoken to him. He's a great friend who also lived there among the Marvel community. And he's been a guest pastor at several of their events, such as Marvel Country. And in fact, he gave the opening invocation at the Liberty State presentation up there in Colville. This is clearly a smear campaign. Now, I was going to go all guns blazing, and I have actually really attacked this because we need to speak truth when there are lies. But I've also doing some praying about this. Maybe there's some divine intervention here as far as why I was not able to put segment four together the way I was going to yesterday. Because I've done some praying and I've done some research here, some Bible study on basically facing false accusations and lies. And I am going to address that. But also, I want to step back, you know, as a Christian and look at this from a biblical perspective. But I also want to speak the truth against the lies that have been put out by some people that are clearly attempting to smear and attack and even slander folks that I know. Otherwise, I know that they are good people. I know that they're not white supremacists, white nationalists, racist, anti-Jew, or anything like that. Matter of fact, very much the opposite. As you know, I am extremely pro-Israel, and I'm not going to associate with people that want to go on Jew bashing, Jew hating, anti-Israel tirades. I'm just not going to run with those kind of people. My viewpoint is completely opposite. I believe that if we will be blessed, if we bless Israel, and I believe that we'll be cursed if we curse Israel, and those are God's chosen people. So I'm not going to argue about that. Probably just shaved off a small handful of listeners and didn't want to hear that, but that's fine. Okay. So what I'm going to do is go through this audio file, and I want to comment on some things as we go. Because I know these things to be lies. And so this is the audio quality is not as good as I was hoping it would be when I transferred it. Something happened. I lost. There was some degradation in the quality of it. But that's okay. So let's take a listen here.
John, you've kind of taken on as a mission to make sure that people understand in no uncertain terms the evil that is slowly and cryptically creeping into both sides of the political spectrum.
Okay, so right now we've already set the stage that this is evil. We're reiterating this is evil. And remember, this comes on the heels of two previous parts in a three-part series who's already laid the foundation for white supremacy, talking about the Aryan nations, the neo-Nazis, and so on and so forth, in the inland Pacific Northwest. Now, what happened was, and part of my investigation revealed that Barry and Ann Byrd from Marble were associated with some folks in the 80s that were trying to establish a strong Christian, go back to our Christian roots and our identity as a nation, as Christians. And so this Christian identity phrase actually was pretty much born during that time. It was new to all of them. And during this time, there were some folks that came forward that believed that, you know, Jews are the root of all of our problems, and you know, this should be a white nation, and so on and so forth. And that's when Barry and Ann Byrd disassociated themselves and took a lot of heat from it. For you're leaving us. We need you. Why are you leaving? You're not one of us. And they said, well, look, we you know, we love you guys. But this just is not in line with our views. And they left. And so, and of course, I've talked to several folks at Marvel, and they've all confirmed this. They had nothing to do with this white identity, white supremacy, and several neo-Nazis and folks like that started to surface among this movement. It was a conglomeration of people from all different backgrounds. And once those guys started really getting a voice, several people left saying, this isn't for us. This is not what we thought it was going to be. And so we're out of here. But because of that affiliation, because of that very early exploration phase, I guess, when Christians were trying to figure out who we are as a country, they see the communists taking steps toward attacking our Christian underpinnings of our country. There was a patriot, early patriot movement in the 70s and 80s that were trying to come together to formulate a plan to really be effective in our communities and our local governments so we could preserve those traditional American ideals. So that's when a lot of these what we know today as Christian identity, as the with the racial ties and the white supremacists and white separatists and so on, that's when those guys started to also emerge in that movement. I'm reiterating, that's when the folks from Marble pulled back and said, "That's we don't like the direction this is going. It's not what we stand for. We're out of here." And then they started the Marble community, a covenant community of Christians that wanted to, you know, be effective in the world and in their country to preserve traditional American ideals. So that's the roots. That's the extent of it. And based on my research and everything else has collaborated with that since then, based on my observations, my interactions, and also my research. So let's continue on.
So we have a very covert group. They changed their tactics. Leadership of the group here regionally, it comes from a place, a refuge, if you will, Marble Country. The one thing that we've talked about is birds. John, one of the things that when I read a lot about Marble, they seem to take extreme effort never to mention Christian identity, never to mention the Ark, never to mention certain key aspects of this, but their philosophies mirror. Is that by choice?
Well, their philosophies mirror. Their philosophies mirror what? This Christian identity, the racial, because what they're talking about is white supremacy in the Spokane region. That's the title, the subtitle of this. So even though they go to great measures, take great measures, they go to great lengths to not ever mention Christian identity. I wonder why. Could there be a reason why they don't mention it? Because, okay, let's use an analogy here. Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich, you're a Mormon. Now, we know that Mormons in the past, we've seen child brides, multiple wives, this kind of thing going on in the Mormon church. So what if we took a step and say, you know, the sheriff has ties to pedophilia because he belongs to an organization that has produced child brides, pedophilia, polygamy. Would that be fair to do? Now, I know we got a lot of Mormon listeners in the audience who don't believe in any of that stuff, but there's certain segments at certain points in history. How about, Sheriff, let's go back in the Mormon church history when the blacks were not allowed in the higher inner circle of the leadership, or when interracial marriage was banned. So we could say, Sheriff, that you have racial ties.
By design.
That you have ties to racial bigotry. Could we say that? Would that be fair? Because that's essentially what you're doing. No, let's listen. So maybe there's a reason why they don't mention Christian identity and white supremacy, because, well, that's not what they believe in. Did you ever think of that? Well, probably not, because you're listening to this John Smith and you're asking, is this by design? Or is this intentional? Which is kind of funny, because intentional or by design is the same thing. But okay, you're live radio. It's not how you meant to word it. Okay, I get it. I do that too. So let's go on and listen. He says it's intentional. This is what John Smith says. It's intentional.
So It's by design. And the reason for that is when they, shortly after I rejected their invitation to be a part of their community.
Stop. Okay, further research. I spoke to the leadership. I've spoken to several people from the Marble community. I cannot find a single person who has ever said that they tried to recruit him. This is one of the claims of this John Smith. This John Smith, by the way, also my research shows that there is this white separatist, white nationalist, white supremacist group, this congregation at a place known as Cedar Creek. I also know, based on my research, that this John Smith has been misleading people and outright lying. And there are people that will testify to this, that he's saying, well, I left him when I was 17 years old. And when he was a young man, the folks from Marble tried to recruit him. They never saw him. After they left this group of people and this kind of white nationalist type of philosophy, anti-Israel, anti-Jew type of rhetoric started to surface, they said, we're out of here. Just like John Smith claims to have done. However, my research shows that this former senator has been, never should have been, John Smith was involved with this Cedar Creek congregation all the way up into his 30s while he was a precinct committee officer, a PCO, which is an elected position, while he was trying to run for senator. Or seeking becoming a senator. At no time did anybody from Marble ever try to recruit the little rat. I can find nobody who actually tried to recruit him. So, John Smith, when you rejected their invitation to join them, who was it? I want a name. Several people would like to know a name. Because I've spoken to all these people you've mentioned and many others, and nobody can seem to find anybody who ever invited you or not that they even wanted you as part of their organization. Let's continue.
They realized that their talking points weren't playing really well with a lot of the people in the area that lean toward white supremacy.
If you're not a white supremacist, doesn't it stand to reason that your talking points are not going to play well with those who are white supremacists? So doesn't it kind of make sense, John, based on your own testimony?
And so they kind of took a step back into Pete Peter's idea of reaching out to the children of the world.
Okay, so this terminology that he's brought up, this Pete Peters, this guy was involved with putting this whole group of patriots together to start exploring how we can come up with a solid plan to return to our Christian roots and restore Americanism. And apparently, supposedly, allegedly, he's also the ones that is saying we should reach out to the children of the world. What they mean is racial minorities, so that you can say, oh, we're not racist, right? So he's trying to project that onto the Marble community. Which obviously the evidence shows, prima facie evidence indicates this to be false, because the testimonies of the minorities that are involved in Marble and love Marble and are very much involved and who love the birds all clearly say they're not patsies for anyone. They're there because they love this community. And all of these people, business owners, families, white collar, blue collar, professionals, all these good Christian folks who are part of this Marble congregation in the community up there could potentially be damaged by this false testimony of yours.
In the former segment, I talked about their hierarchy, where there was God, and then right beneath God were God's people, which are white people, and then beneath that are all of the brown-skinned races, and then at the very bottom are what they say, or said, were the literal descendants of Satan, the Jewish people.
Stop. Okay, nobody believes that at Marble. I don't believe that. I don't know of anybody who believes that. I've directly asked, and they're like, absolutely not. They're God's chosen people. How in the world could we say that Jews are the descendants of Satan? That's lunacy. But that's what you're saying about them, this hierarchy. So now what he's done, what John Smith has done, is he's taking these talking points from this period when he claims that he was raised and broke away from and challenged when he was 14 years old, even though he attended this community in Cedar Creek, based on my research and based on people's testimony, all the way into his 30s, well into his 30s. Folks who actually did believe those things, that Jews were descendants of Satan. Folks that you, John Smith, based on my research and testimony of many others, indicate that you were still a part of. And actually, you were questioned about this and challenged on this. And you blew it off. So there's some problems here. But nobody in Marble believes that I've been able to find. And certainly not any of the leadership, because I've spoken to many members of the leadership as well. Let's go on.
This is Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich with the Sheriff's Report. This is going to be the third and final segment of our series titled...
Oops, I accidentally pushed stop.
Liable for the death penalty.
So
it's a death sentence.
It's a death sentence.
And the reason for that is, and then at the very bottom are what they say or said were the literal descendants of Satan, the Jewish people. Well, if you're an agent of Satan, even if you're a white person, what that means is you've gone out of that top spart, that top children of God category, and now you've gone all the way down below the Jewish part, and now you're a direct representative of Satan. And so in their philosophy, that makes you you're liable for the death penalty.
So
it's a death sentence.
It's a death sentence.
Stop right there. Okay, do you see what's happening? He's taking the philosophies of white supremacist organizations. He's projecting that onto Marble, onto people who nobody from Marble has ever proposed that type of doctrine. In fact, they stand solidly against it, but he's projected it onto them. So because of this false testimony, and I would agree, Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. Either you're influenced by God or you're influenced by Satan. I believe that. So if you are spewing lies about somebody and you know those to be lies, are you not an agent of Satan? I would say yes, you are. But see, here's the twist. He's saying now these people are taking it upon themselves to say that you're worthy. It's the death penalty. What just happened here is the narrative just shifted. They're not just crazy people now. Now they're dangerous. And of course, dangerous people are going to have to be dealt with. I mean, we can't just let people going around putting death sentences on other people who are, you know, not just lunatics, but now they're imposing death penalties on people. And this is an outright lie. An outright lie. Now, remember.
Would you like to tell folks?
Yeah, let me play this. This goes. They drag this out just a little bit more.
Who's wearing that label right now?
Well, after a couple of years ago, I had a conversation with one of the reporters for The Inlander, and he quoted me extensively. In one of his articles. Shortly afterward, I met Ann Bird in Walmart, and she explained to me that I was in league with Satan and that I was a minister of Satan because I dared to speak to the press and I dared to misrepresent what Marble was all about. And I said,
false. See, what he's doing is he's taking a small sliver of truth and he's weaving lies all around it. Okay, truths and half-truths. Or a little bit of truth, and then lots of half-truths, and then outright lies. I would be upset too. Now, if you're lying about somebody knowingly and maligning them, I would say you're an agent of Satan. You're doing Satan's work if you're lying. He's the master of liars, actually, after all. And wouldn't you be upset about it as well? But see, that's not the whole thing that that happened here. It wasn't just because he dared to talk to the press. It wasn't that he dared to speak inaccurately. It was because you maliciously maligned good people and accused them of something in this culture would be detrimental to someone and their community. Because you were rejected by them, I suspect. So there's a little bit of conjecture on my part. From what I understand, they wanted nothing to do with you. Also, based on my research, and this could also be conjecture, that there's some animosity there that you possibly feel like maybe you lost the election because of the lack of Marble's support. So now you're going to destroy them, right? Now, I don't know. I want to stay away from conjecture, but I have to wonder what the motive here is. But we're talking about who's got this label on them, this label, who's targeted, who's been targeted for the death sentence by this crazy, maniacal cult up by the Canadian border. Well, let's listen.
You know, all I'm doing is telling what I saw, and she was pretty furious. So yourself, myself, you know, reporters who have been critical, but it's not just that. I mean, we're obviously
okay. So who's been marked? Who's been targeted? Who wears that label as agents of Satan, worthy of the death penalty? And who's who has a death sentence on them? He says myself, John Smith, former senator, yourself, Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, and reporters who dared to whatever it was that he said. So reporters, the Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, and John Smith are all now targets of the death penalty from these folks at Marble. Unbelievable. I was floored. When I'm hearing this interview, I could not believe that it actually aired. I was floored, and we're not done. Let's continue.
I obviously have a bullseye. You obviously have a bullseye.
There we are. There's the bullseye. The death penalty. Worthy of death.
And folks, if you think that hyperbole, let me read you something that was sent to me.
Okay, this is good. So what he's going to read now is a letter that was sent to him by I would call a provocateur. He says he's not a provocateur. He says that's a lie, but okay, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It seems pretty provocative to me, the things that he's going to claim. But there's more to this, and I've actually covered it in the past. I'm going to remind you of this here as soon as we're done listening to him read this.
I'm not going to use the individual's name. I forwarded this
I know his name.
Information to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the FBI. But this individual attended a meeting for the 51st state.
Here we go with the Liberty State. That's what's coming up now. Now, before we go on any further, I want to remind you of what we've talked about with the stages of oppression against a socially, politically undesirable group. In this case, conservative Christian patriots in this country. And we've seen it against the Jews. We've seen it against the bourgeoisie during the Bolshevik Revolution. We're seeing it against whites today in South Africa. We saw it against Christians in southern Sudan. We've just seen this time and time again. Burma, on and on and on. So here's these are the stages that this goes through. This oppression. It starts with marginalization, and then demonization. Then criminalization, then incarceration, then extermination. Those are the sequence. That's the sequence that things go through when you are setting up the stages for oppressing a group of people. So marginalization, we're already beyond that. These guys are just crazy up there. They got their little religious community. There must be something weird with them. They call it a covenant community. That's just kind of odd. They're trying to influence the government too. What a bunch of weirdos. Okay, you're marginalizing them. Then the demonization happens. Okay, this is where you begin to actually make these people out to be evil. And how many times have we heard evil and all through this series when they're applying it to people that we know? Now, I've added another category besides after criminalization, then incarceration. I've also added one in there, squeezed it in there, litigation. In our culture, we see litigation. And this is where they try to destroy people by filing lawsuits against them. The SPLC is known for this, threatening to file lawsuits against people, forcing them to spend thousands or tens of thousands of dollars or more defending themselves, annihilating them financially. When you want to destroy somebody and you can't quite criminalize them yet, it's just socially unacceptable what they're doing. But so it's not really a crime yet. Let's litigate. Let's just sue the snot out of them, right? And even if they win, we're going to just bury them financially. Just the cost of proving yourself innocent, which is another un-American theme. So marginalization, demonization, then criminalization, then incarceration, then or litigation, and then extermination. This is what it goes to, right? Okay, but now what we're doing is we're starting to bridge the gap between demonization and criminalization, right? Because now anybody involved, many people, several people involved in the 51st State Movement, the movement to form Liberty State, now their names have been turned over to the FBI based on this one individual's report that the sheriff received. It was just what Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich has needed, been wanting. But fortunately, we've got some FBI agents on the ground that are wise enough to be able to see through this nonsense and this drama that they're trying to create out of nothing, because their investigation is going to lead to some other discoveries about this person that sheriff didn't want to name, but I know who it is. I know his name, and we know more about him and some of the stuff that he's threatened as well. I'm going to talk about that here in just a second.
Very recently, and asked questions, and this guy, person, says that, you know, I'm not opposed to the idea. You know, how about a 53rd, 2nd, 5th, whatever, as many it takes to get liberty back in hand. But I do have some questions. Because he asked those questions, and these are his words.
Okay, they were provocative. What these questions were is, are you guys going to be inclusive? What about homosexual marriage? What are you guys going to do about marijuana? What are you going to do about this and that? Now, this was on a Facebook page. All right. This does not represent the committee of Liberty State or 51st State. It's open for anybody to join. Anybody, well, you get approved by the administrators. You agree to the terms that you're not going to be divisive. You're not going to use foul language. You're not going to – this kind of stuff. You're going to basically behave yourself. And – So anybody can participate in this. Anybody can ask questions.
He says that.
So anybody can respond.
As such, I now consider Mr. Bosworth, and that's another name that is associated with this group. You may recognize.
This Anthony Bosworth got in a little sparring match with this. They had some back and forth on Facebook. Has nothing to do with Liberty State, except for it was on the Liberty State, join the Liberty State page. I watched this unfold. I didn't see a threat. It was just a bunch of bannering going back and forth. And it was kind of childish, actually, I thought, on both sides. But that's not my thing. It's just whatever. The administrators, their job's to jump in there and separate the kids from time to time.
Recognize that name from some local history here. A direct threat to myself and my family, and I will respond accordingly. I actually tried to disengage Mr. Bosworth several times. He didn't let up. Finally, I got fed up and responded in kind. Then your moderators and Matt Shea himself announced that they had done an investigation and found that I was part of an orchestrated attempt and a provocateur. They label people provocateurs really
quick.
Disagree with them, folks, you...
Okay, hold on. Sheriff, who's talking about being labeled really quickly if you disagree with them? Huh? Think about what you're saying. Who's labeling somebody really quickly if you just disagree with them? Are you really sure you want to go there? So, this individual was, there was an investigation. It was proven that they were part of a orchestrated attempt to disrupt the discussion on the Liberty State. They started coming in advocating for homosexual marriage and, I don't know, abortion, same-sex marriage, just all this transgender stuff, whatever it was, environmental stuff, basically pushing a left-wing agenda. So as soon as people started saying, no, we're trying to get away from that, the policies of Olympia and Seattle that have been forced upon us. We're not going to stand for that here. So they said, oh, so you're not for liberty. If this isn't inclusive, then how can you call this liberty? So they were really just picking a fight. And this individual showed up on the Facebook page right at the precise time, within 24 to 48 hours, a whole pile of brand new people joining, and they were all just asking questions. We're just trying to find out what this is all about. We want a Liberty State. We want a 51st state too. So we're just trying to find out exactly what the ideology here that's driving this, because we want to make sure it's inclusive. So what they were trying to do was pick a fight. That's exactly what they were trying to do. And so people were pushing back, saying, no, the majority of us are on this side of the state are Christian, and we don't think that our values and our views are being properly represented by Olympia and Seattle. So we think we'd be best represented if we formed our own state where there would be proper representation. And they didn't like this. Of course, what they realized that they're outnumbered. The leftists are, you know, this basically Antifa type of tactics, what they were doing. So anyway, let's continue on.
It labeled immediately.
Okay. All right. I guess that was the end of that. Okay. So let me tell you something about this individual who wrote this letter saying, I was just trying to ask questions and then I got met with hostility. This is the same individual who wrote a piece in the Statesman Examiner. And I have it, and I reported on this, where he basically said that if Liberty State becomes a state, then he is put out an open invitation for militant homosexuals to join him at his property, although he claims he's not a homosexual, he's married to a woman, but now he's a champion of homosexuals against Liberty State because of these radical, non-inclusive insane wackos who just based on the open discussion on a Facebook page where people were speaking out against homosexual marriage. I guess that's that's the law of Liberty State now, even though we don't even have a legislature yet, even though we haven't even solidified the Constitution yet. No laws have been passed. And the parts of the Constitution that I've seen call for a representation of the people, a true republic made up of representatives chosen by the people. There's no dictatorship going on here. There's not even any laws made up yet. But he's acting like it's already game, set, match. He's calling for homosexuals to join him on his compound, on his property, to carry out operations against Christians once liberty becomes a state. That's your source, Sheriff. That's your source that you're basing this off of, that you turned all those names over to the FBI. So FBI that are listening, I want you to take note of this. I want you to go back to the Statesman Examiner. It was not on their online edition. It was only in the print edition. Thank the Lord, a patriot in Stevens County sent me the physical copy of this newspaper, and I read it in black and white for myself. This individual speaking out against Liberty State, calling for militant homosexuals to join him on his property so that they could carry out operations against those people, Christians, after Liberty State becomes a state. That's the sheriff's source. The sheriff, this is what I talked about yesterday, Sanballat. Remember Sanballat? He's a modern-day Sanballat. I'm talking about Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich. And this is what happened. This is what we're up against. And this is from Nehemiah 6, 5 through 9. I read it yesterday. I'm going to read it again. So, our non-Christians out there don't like the Bible. too getting too preachy, plug your ears, stand by, because some scripture's coming at you. Nehemiah 6, 5 through 9. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, which was written this. So he gets this letter from this guy, from the community, right? It's reported among the nations and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these rumors, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. So Nehemiah writes back and says, nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making it up in your own head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will be too weak for the work and it will not be completed. Talking about building the wall. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. So Nehemiah turned to God and said, strengthen me. Right? Because these guys were making false accusations about their true intentions of what they were trying to build. They're trying to build the wall of Jerusalem for the glory of Jerusalem, for the glory of God's people, their homeland, and to restore Jerusalem back to what it was, and for God's glory. Now you've got Christians who see their nation broken down. They want to build something. And now they're continuously being bombarded by these people who are pointing and falsely accusing about the true motives. So what they're saying, Sanballat here, I mean, Sheriff Ozzy Knezovich is saying the real reason why these guys are doing this is so that they can take over the government. That's the real reason they're trying to build the 51st state. And here's testimony right here. I'm telling the king, I mean, the FBI, so they can investigate this. This is like scripture, like being lived out right before our eyes. And patriots, this can happen to you. This has happened to many of you out in the audience. This is happening right before my eyes to people that I know to be good, and I know these to be lies, and I know that the people that are saying it are liars and they're hostile toward Christianity. These people did not just go in there just to ask questions. They went there to pick a fight, so that they could falsely accuse us of tyranny and oppression because we're not being inclusive, because we're not going to allow homosexual marriage possibly. Well, that's for the people to decide on. The people are going to vote on their representatives to represent them in this new state, to go into legislature, to form laws, and they will make that decision then. That decision hasn't been made now, so it doesn't matter what somebody on Facebook says, poking you with a stick, getting you all riled up. But what it did do is reveal the condition of your heart, that you're prepared to call for militant homosexuals to join you on your property to carry out as a base for carrying out operations against Christians when liberty becomes a state. Really? And shame on the Statesman Examiner. You need to be examined. Your heads need to be examined for even allowing that to be printed in your newspaper. Hope it gets back to you. Shame on you. All right. Let's continue.
Got labeled a provocateur. Neither of these are true, and they were lies. I do not tolerate lies or liars. So if you're thinking what John just told you about all of that was hyperbole, these people are fearful now. And this is not the only person that reached out.
Oh, I'm not surprised, because they got a little army of Antifa types that go on these campaigns. So you can say, this is not just one person that told me about this. I had more than one person tell. Yeah, because they all get together and coordinate this stuff.
Again, all that information has been sent to the proper channels.
Oh, you sent it to the king. Thank you. What dutiful Sanballat you are.
And, you know, it's chilling. It's chilling to think that if you merely disagree, you're now labeled. And if you speak out against, you face a death penalty.
Now, think of the irony of that. Think of the irony of what you just said. If you disagree and if you speak out, you're labeled. And what are you doing? When people are speaking out against tyranny from Seattle and Olympia, when their children are having sexual deviancy pushed on them and the parents are upset and they speak out against it, when people are being disarmed or the attempted disarmament of the people, which is unconstitutional and unlawful, and the people speak out against it, now they're labeled. You're right. When people do disagree, when they do speak out, they are labeled. But who's really doing the labeling here, Sheriff?
And so that we don't overcome white supremacy by transferring the hate that they spew out back onto them. We overcome white supremacy by living a better way, by communicating with people, by demonstrating empathy to the people that are around us, both white-skinned and dark-skinned, recognizing that it's the content of our character that we're judged on, not by the color of our skin.
Wow, do they sound pious or what? Whoever said anything about – they are the only ones who said anything about white supremacy. Nobody – none of the Patriots, nobody in Liberty State, nobody at Marble, not Matt Shea, not anybody that – not Anthony Bosworth, not the three percenters. Nobody involved in any of this has said anything about white supremacy. The only people that have – that white supremacy has come out of their mouths is you, the false accusers, the sandblats. You're the ones that are making the accusations. You're making, just like Nehemiah said, you're making this all up in your head. Now I'm going back to work. Bye-bye.
These people want to see another civil war. If you take a look at the Maurer takeover, that was supposed to be the Alamo.
Hold on. These people want, these people, who are these people? Liberty State Movement? The great folks up in Marble in Stevens County, or all the other patriots in Stevens County that support Liberty State that aren't part of Marble, or the patriots all across Eastern Washington, 75% of which support Liberty State. You mean all of them want a civil war? You really, are you listening to the words that you're saying? Do any of us want a civil war? Now, you can look at the indicators, like in South Africa, they don't want a civil war, but you can see when one's coming, and it would make pretty good sense if you paid attention to current events and took measures to protect yourself and your community if you see that coming. No, there's indicators in the United States that mirror that and are parallel the same trajectory that we've seen other countries who have had civil war descend upon them. We've seen that. So you can look and say there's an increasing number of indicators showing that there's the probability of a civil war in America is increasing. But do they want it? Just because you see a storm coming doesn't mean you want a storm to come. But people are on the wall saying there's a storm coming. And then you attack the guy up on the wall pointing out that there's a storm coming, saying, why did you bring this storm on? How could you want this storm? This storm's going to be devastating. Who do you think you are wanting this storm? And the guy's just going, I think there's a storm on the horizon. Unbelievable, though. This is unbelievable.
People, somebody will say, Sheriff, do you think civil war is coming? Their end game is starting to maybe start hitting that phase.
Right.
Oh, so our end game is a civil war. And now we're starting to hit that phase because people are asking you, do you think there'll be a civil war? Why? Because of all the division in this country? Because of the hostility and the violent, the calls for violence? How about the left and Antifa calling for the killing of President Trump and anyone who supported him? Remember the marginalization, demonization, criminalization, extermination. I don't know when we'll ever see criminalized, not on an institutional level. You're a criminal if you voted for Trump. But I don't know. Not much would surprise me anymore in this day and age. But you can still get executed for it because they're calling for the killing of people who support Trump. Not they, like Ozzy Knezovich or his type. No, just the street knuckle-dragging thugs in Antifa.
And I do. I fear for our nation. I fear for our nation because we keep allowing this hate, this radicalized hate, to influence our decisions.
What? This almost babbling incoherently here. I'm talking about me. I was going to say that about the sheriff, but now because I'm dumbfounded, I'm gobsmacked. I can't even wrap my mind around this. That I fear for my country because we've allowed this hate to influence our thinking. What hate? What I hate are liars, and these are lies about good people. Sheriff, if you sat down with the leadership from Marble, you would see you would think something's not adding up here. From what I've been told about these people, from what they believe, what they truly believe, and how they really are, is not
matching. Folks, it's time to drop the hate.
It's time to drop the hate. Wow. I hate injustice. I hate when good people are being lied about and slandered. But anyway, this is what I prayed about. I'm going to talk about something here real quick, and then I'm going to close. This went way long. This is like a bonus segment here, which is why I couldn't just slap it back together, you know, early this morning. They're talking about Nehemiah being falsely accused. There's a couple of things that I came across. Responding wisely when you're falsely accused. We got to make sure that your blood boils. You want to come out swinging. And I have definitely advocated strongly, and I would say even come out swinging in defense of these good people. But you also, a lot of studying and researching that I've done from godly pastors about responding to being slandered, they're like, caution, putting out a flag of caution. And they're right, because that's when you start acting irrationally. I don't think I've acted irrationally, but I definitely have responded. And so I'm glad that this kind of strung out for 3 weeks, me getting this totally responded to, because I don't think I'm going to talk about it much more, because they're making stuff up in their head. They're saying things that are untrue, that are outright lies, that are designed to harm good people. So I will speak the truth and then drop it. And guess what? Like Nehemiah, we're all going to go back to work building the wall. There's in this growingchristians.org, there's a study on Nehemiah, and they pose some questions at the bottom of the study. The enemy made a fifth attack in an attempt to hinder the rebuilding of the wall. What was the strategy? Well, the answer is the enemy made a personal attack against Nehemiah about his motives. And this is what's happening. This is a personal attack against those that are trying to build something for God's glory. 2, who's behind this strategy? Well, their answer, Satan. He prompted Sanballat to pretend to be friends with Nehemiah at first while attacking him and scheming against him. All right? So again, there's Satan. Now, did Nehemiah put out a call for an assassination of Sanballat? Did he put the death penalty on him? No, but he did say we were going to be prepared to defend ourselves against you. Because the narrative right here is that you're worthy of being killed because of your intent. He's trying to, in Sanballat's case, go to the king to even bring down the long arm of the law, the authority of the king, the authority of the government, to malign these people and falsely proclaim what their true intentions are in hopes that government forces would be brought to bear that these guys could not withstand to destroy them and kill them. And that is exactly the potential outcome for this narrative right here. Falsely accusing people, turning names over to the FBI. Fortunately, I think they're going to be wise enough to see through this for what it is. That's my hope. But it was Satan behind it. And I believe it's Satan behind this as well. And no, that doesn't mean it's a death penalty, John Smith, no relation. What is slander and why is it so devastating? How is it countered? Well, according to this study, it is character assassination. or what we call label lynching now. It's character assassination, and it is very difficult to counter. It is countered by finding refuge and strength in God and not in self-defense. And what did Nehemiah do? He turned to God and said, God, strengthen my hands, right? Although they did wear swords, they were ready for to defend themselves physically if they had to. But he also took the battle, the spiritual battle, and turned to God and let him handle it as well, right? What is slander and – oh, wait. Why is it so difficult to keep from defending yourself when you're slandered? Well, we want to set the record straight, no matter how much time and energy it takes. It seems unfair to be attacked and not do everything we can to defend ourselves. That's true. And that's kind of what I fell into. But also, I believe that we should speak truth as well. And so I spoke the truth, and I did call them out on some of their lies. And you know what? Nehemiah did call him out on his lies, too. He said, what you're saying is untrue, and you're making it all up in your head, which is basically the same thing that I did. I just turned around and told Ozzie Knezovich and John Smith, you're making stuff up in your head, and it could potentially get somebody hurt, so shame on you. 5, what did Nehemiah do when he was slandered? Well, Nehemiah found strength in God. He denied the charges and committed the matter to God. And then what did he do? He went back to work. And that's exactly what we're going to do. What does fear make people do? Why does fear make people do strange things? This study asks. Well, fear makes people irrational so they cannot think clearly. They may overreact and say or do something wrong. And I think this was a false fear that we saw Ozzie Knezovich responding to. And it did not seem like he was thinking clearly. And he did overreact and he did say or do the wrong thing, in my opinion. So, responding wisely when falsely accused. An additional study I'm going to put, it's JamesLau88.com. It's a, you know, Christian Bible study. I thought was very helpful and interesting. So I'm going to post a link to this in the highlights and resources posting so that you can read it up for yourself, especially for those of you that are dealing with slander and false accusations. So, and the passages he says are taken from Chuck Swindoll's book, Job. Which was published in 2004. Now, we'll put a link to that book for you guys if we can find it. So he talks about examples of biblical characters who were falsely accused. Maybe we can relate to some of these. You may be surprised to find how often false accusations were leveled against innocent people in the scripture. Let's think of several examples, all of them the victims of unfair, damaging words. Let's start with a man named Joseph, who learned a new language, became familiar with a completely different culture, and earned his way to a place of great responsibility as the manager of Potiphar's belongings. He was a model of integrity, but at the height of his career, Joseph was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. He wound up in jail. Moses was unfaithful, even at 80 years of age, to obey God's voice and accept God's commission from the burning bush to go back to Egypt and deliver his people from bondage. Following the Exodus, while still wandering across the wilderness, the very people he had delivered turned on him and falsely accused him of bringing them into that wilderness to watch them die. Nothing was further from the truth. David, after killing the giant and demonstrating a life of courage and integrity, was falsely accused of trying to dethrone King Saul by the jealous and insecure king himself. David became a fugitive for a dozen or more years, falsely accused of something that was not at all true. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall around ancient Jerusalem, having motivated the people to accomplish that difficult task. And just before the project reached completion, several of his enemies spread the word that Nehemiah had an ulterior motive, saying he's building the wall so he can ultimately become the new king. Nehemiah is in it for himself. That was their lie. How unfair for that to be said of godly and diligent Nehemiah. Peter and John were accused of preaching a false Christ, clearly a false accusation. Unfairly, they were beaten for it. Paul was accused of being a phony convert shortly after his conversion. The apostles wouldn't even allow him in their circle since they were suspicious about his not being born again. He was later accused of causing a dissension among all the Jews. So, there's just a few examples there, but I want to leave you with this. It comes from Matthew 5:11-12. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there's actually more. There's a whole example here of what to do if you are falsely accused and slandered. I'll let you read it for yourself, but it starts off with this. Truth is generally the best vindication against slander. Stay with the truth. Don't exaggerate it. Don't deny it. And don't hesitate to say it. So there you have it. I hope that is a blessing for some of you guys out there. I hope you know a little bit more of the truth about some of this stuff and the false accusations that's come from this wayward sheriff and this deceiving little rat. That's probably an unchristian thing to say. But this this deceiving individual, I'll call him Modern Sanballat. And hopefully it'll help you guys that you might be facing the same thing. So anyway, with that, I will bid you farewell for the rest of this week. Have a blessed week. Thanks for your patience sticking around for this late edition of segment 4. Hope that you found it worth the wait. All right. That's it. This is John Jacob Smith, Schmidt. And you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. And that's the truth. Good night.